Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. It's New Zealand Music Month, and as happens a lot this month, we've got some great new releases from local artists. One such release, Distance From View, the solo album from local producer Scratch 22. Scratch 22, aka Roddy, joins us now. Roddy, thanks for coming along, and congratulations on the new album.
Yeah, cheers, Damien.
Was it much of an effort to get it done? How long was it a work in progress?
I've been working on it for like a couple of years, I'd say, but only really, you know, it's hard because I wasn't really working towards doing an album. I was just writing beats as such. I was doing, you know, production for MCs and for hip-hop songs for quite a while before that.
It's quite interesting because listening to the album, to me, it's quite an old school sound, isn't it? It's quite that early Ninja Tunes kind of trip hoppy sort of thing. You know, lots of big long beats and quite, you know, organic sounding samples, that sort of thing.
Well, yeah, I wanted to make something that didn't really sound like it had been written on a computer. You know,
yeah,
something that kind of sounded a lot older than it was.
It actually sounds like it's been made on turntables in lots of ways. You know, and sort of is that because that's your background?
Yeah, that's how I started out getting into music when I was really young. I wanted to be a radio host, and then I, through doing that,
you got the right voice for it. I've got to say,
through volunteering up at BFM when I was really young, about 13, I got kind of introduced to hip hop music and turntables and that sort of thing, and then that became my big passion while I was in high school.
It does sound like someone that's been making music with turntables, you know, like a sort of Qbert Styles or Cold Cut, that sort of, you know, that sort of scratch sample thing. Did you start making music that way?
Yeah, well, I started, you know, manipulating sound that way, but you know, writing music was quite different. You know, there's no turntables involved really. I don't even think there's a single scratch on the album or any kind of turntable manipulation. But it is a good way of, you know, seeing if, you know, two elements fit together. You know, that's the natural sort of, you know, left and right turntable sort of way of putting sounds together. That's definitely how I started off making music.
I'm really curious about this. How do you write a beat?
Well, there's a million different ways you can go about it.
But like, are you just like crossing the road and a bus goes over a bump and you hear something and then you go like that, or is it, you know, you have heart palpitation or what? I mean, what are we talking about?
Of a bus crossing the road could be the start of a beat. The only thing that makes it musical is if I took that sound and repeated it. You know, it's the act of repetition what makes that sound into music. You know.
In the case of your album, how much of it is say, sample-based, you know, i.e. drawing on pre-existing material versus writing melodies, you know, rhythms, that sort of thing?
The sounds on the album are sourced from all over the place. You know, it could be me recording myself, you know, tapping on the table for some percussion. It could be me recording a guitar player or a bass player for a melody, or it could be, you know, taking a little bit from an old record and, you know, manipulating that in some way. It's an interesting way of writing music because kind of it's not your traditional band way where you kind of all get together with a bunch of friends and, you know, play around and have a jam and then refine that song, you know, over time. It's more the act of writing it is the same as the act of creating it, you know. So you're kind of, my method is to throw a lot of things at the wall, you know, and then gradually remove them until you wind up with a refined sort of tune at the end.
It gives you a big toolbox to work with, doesn't it? I mean, when you're working like that, did it create many problems at the other end? I know from a lot of my friends who produce music and do so commercially that they get to the end, they submit to the album to the record company, and the record company says, this is going to cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars to get clearance. It's going to take us several years, and we have to get someone like Stevie Wonder to sign it off. Can you think about redoing that one? Did that happen much?
Well, that's the cool thing about being able to draw from so many good musicians I've come into contact with over the years in New Zealand, you know, working on other projects, is that I've got a lot of, you know, session musicians, I guess, on the record, you know, like playing guitar and bass and that sort of thing.
And you've come out on Round Trip Mars, is that right?
Yeah, Round Trip Mars. It's a great label. I used to actually, it's Stinky Jim's label, and I used to listen to his radio show in high school. There was two radio shows that used to kind of circulate round on cassette, and it was the True School Hip Hop Show and Stinky Jim's.
Stinky Grooves,
yeah.
So how important is it that your music be danceable to? Does that go through your mind when you're trying to, you know, compose a beat?
Not with my own music. It's really not what I'm going for. I mean, I work as a DJ. That's kind of the other side of the coin. I play, you know, DJ sets every weekend, and that stuff's really danceable. But I don't often play a lot of my own music in those sets because the stuff that I prefer to listen to at home is not necessarily dance music, you know, and that's kind of more the thing I wanted to write for my, you know, for my first album, something that was more true to what I would want to listen to rather than something I'd want to hear in the club.
You talk about having great access to musicians and whatnot. Who did you work with on this album?
A friend of mine, Mutter TK, based in Wellington. He's an amazing vocalist, but he also plays the bass and guitar, and he's the son of Billy TK.
Mm-hmm.
We're old friends, and he helped out a lot in terms of, you know, making a lot of the songs sound really organic by having, you know, those live guitar elements in there. Jeremy Toy was another person that I hadn't worked with before, actually, but who was really great in that he just had a lot of experience in recording and you know, playing on a lot of other records.
To what extent are you intending to tour this album or play? I mean, is there a way that you can replicate it in a live sense?
Yeah, there's a couple of ways. At the moment, I'm in rehearsals with a local punk band called the DHDFDs, and we're putting together...
Do I even want to know what that stands for?
I don't know what the F stands for.
Hey, take your best guess.
Freedom.
I have no idea what it stands for. I think it's open to interpretation.
Okay,
there's
cool.
Several.
It should be a competition. You should win something if you'd solve that one.
But yeah, so I'm you know, I'm reinterpreting the songs in a live band sort of context, and I'm doing another way where I can just do them just myself on stage, but I'm behind a video screen. It's more about the visual element because I've worked with a guy called Bob Vanderwall, who's been my art director throughout the whole thing, like from, you know, conception of doing an album, he's been the guy that's been doing all the visual accompaniments to it, and we've shot quite a bit of visual accompaniment to each song so far.
So tell me about that, actually. That's quite interesting. So you end up with an art director working with you from the outset. I mean, that's not the normally a band would come up, they'd record their album, they'd get someone to design the sleeve, and then they'd go get a music video grant, find a director, and go out and shoot something. So you've actually worked sort of symbiotically throughout the process with someone?
Yeah, completely side by side. I think it's important to have that one person that's kind of looking after all the visuals, especially when you're writing instrumental music, you know. It's quite important to have a strong visual aspect to play off with that, you know.
How much did what they were doing influence the music side of things rather than the other way around?
Well, it was really just quite a back and forth thing. We worked together on a lot of the stuff, you know, from the sound of the whole album to the shape of the video. Like when I had my first kind of rough draft of the album, I was like, yeah, these are kind of, you know, dozen or so songs that I'd like to have on there. Around that same time, Bob went on his OE and went traveling around India for half a year, and so he had that on his iPod to travel with as kind of journey music. And so through doing that, him listening to it, traveling around and coming up with sketches for, you know, ideas for videos and designs for it and stuff. And, you know, when he could get, you know, the few sparse internet connections he could get onto, he'd, you know, come back with me with a whole bunch of ideas and, you know, like how things, you know, were sounding to him. And it really did help to shape the whole sound of the album. And I think that's been a really cool experience rather than just, you know, working with other musicians and other vocalists, to be working with someone that has no real, you know, technical musical knowledge, but has a really strong feeling about how it should sit with visuals.
Well, that's fascinating. It's probably, out of all the music interviews I've done over the years, probably the first time anyone's told me that they've been doing something like that, so it's very original. Thank you very much for your time. That's Scratch 22. His new album, Distance From View, is available in all good record stores right now. That's all we've got time for on the show this week. Thanks for listening. If there's something you'd missed or you'd like to hear again, pop along to our podcast, publicaddress.net/radio. Till next week, I've been Damien Christie.
And I'm Raybon Cann. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.